Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's July 24th, 2006, and it's great to be back in Denver, and we are going to give you an overview of what happened last week as Operation Save America descended on Jackson, Mississippi, the state capital, and made an effort to close down the last abortion clinic. At least that was the goal. And to help me tell the story, we are going to the phones and we'll talk with Jason Troyer from Denver Bible Church. Jason, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thanks for having me, and what a week we had in Jackson.
What a week, Jason. So I think you should start, because I got there, we left after church on Sunday, so I missed the first couple days. But so why don't you start us on Saturday a week ago?
Well, both the beginning of the week and the end of the week were really the most dramatic, because that's when we have the pro-abortion anarchists show up. And about midweek, they kind of fizzled out a little bit. I don't know whether it was the heat or they had other things going on. But at the beginning, which was Saturday, the OSA events go from Saturday to Saturday, and they had a rally with NOW, a National Organization of Women, in a park in, I forget the name of the park, but it's about two blocks from the state capitol. So right downtown, they had quite a few people, and we had quite a few people there.
Now, Operation Save America, formerly known as Operation Rescue, led by the Reverend Flip Benham, I'd say had about 300 people there, but then locals got involved during the week, and so probably peaked maybe about 500 people. So it was a pretty significant event focusing on this city throughout the whole week.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And so Saturday, the pro-aborts were having a rally in the park, and so the Christians decided to show up and share the gospel with them. Well, one Christian from Florida was asked to hold the briefcase of a friend of his, and so he held the briefcase. The friend came back, picked up the briefcase, no big deal. But when you're dealing with pro-lifers, cops tend to overreact.
Overreact, so, you're not
so
kidding.
This gentleman had the briefcase for a few minutes, and then he didn't, and then they saw a briefcase sitting by a trash can. So that immediately turned into a bomb scare.
Oh, no.
So they took the pro-lifer, questioned him, and he said, he told them exactly what had happened. The cops didn't believe him, so they put him on an air-conditioned bus for about 3.5 hours.
Hey, that's pretty much worth it right there, air conditioning in Jackson, Mississippi.
And I came back, and we were here on Sunday for church, and I thought, man, this heat here in Denver, this is great compared to the Mississippi heat. I wasn't dripping with sweat. It was great.
Yeah, it's like being in a sauna.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was rough. But anyway, I guess that's why the unbelievers there, they're not worried about hell.
Yeah, well, hell's going to be a little different. And
hell's going to be worse.
Yeah, and we did have a few saves there. We had a few people that weren't Christians at the beginning of the week change their mind and turn their hearts over to the Lord, so we're thrilled about that.
Praise God, and that almost always happens at Operation Save America events, because the effort is to save unborn children and save the mothers of those kids, their souls, and those who are either liberals or atheists or rejecting Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with them.
Yeah. So we had one pro-lifer Saturday there in the park sitting on an air-conditioned bus, which he didn't mind all that much. But they had to clear the park because they were scared of what was in the briefcase that someone had just left by the trash can. So what they did, the pro-aborts had to give up their sound system. They had to move to the side of the park, and all of the street preachers that we had with us were able to preach into the crowd of pro-aborts for about 2 hours.
So 2 hours. How many counter-protesters would you say they were? That's what they were, the now gang.
Well, they had a pretty big group, because they had this scheduled. It wasn't just the anarchists that were from all over town driving in their rundown RV that they were driving across the country. So there was quite a few of them. But all you need is a few street preachers to get in the mix of their Dr. Patrick Johnston was able to talk to them for a few hours. Ken Scott lost his voice that day. And
would you say there were 50 of them, 100?
Oh, there was easily 100 of them that day.
100 of them. And let's skip ahead and let the audience know, by the way, we're speaking with Jason Troyer from Denver Bible Church about Operation Save America's event last week in Jackson, Mississippi. When you fast forward through the end of the week, it turns out some of these extremely harsh, angry, hate-filled, pro-abort, anarchists, lesbians, whatever they were, ended up spending hours talking and sharing and letting us share the gospel with them. So it was pretty neat. But okay, so this is on the first day.
Well, can we talk about the last part? Can we talk about that, what you just said?
Yeah.
Because that was absolutely dramatic. We had a church service Friday night in the same park that we had just talked about.
Yeah.
And the pro-aborts knew that we were going to have a church service there. So they showed up, and there was maybe 20 of them at that point. And they were up on stage because it's a public park, and we couldn't stop them. They thought they would be disruptive. So they were doing lewd acts up there, dancing, all kinds of
lewd acts, meaning extremely lewd acts.
Yeah.
And with all families and children around, they figured if they could feign like they're having sex, then that would force the families to leave. And so we pro-lifers, we go to the police, and they have a law there against lewd and lascivious acts in public, and the police say, huh, that's legal, that's fine, they could do that all they want.
And I didn't blame the police so much for that, although a lot of Christians were very upset, and I understand exactly why they were upset.
Yeah.
But our culture is so lewd in and of itself that just in general, it's not shocking to see that anymore.
Well, it's like city after city, like Denver, Colorado, the courts, the judges have ruled that the homosexuals could be naked in public places in Denver.
Yeah.
So at Cheeseman Park, the homos are naked there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's a reflection about our culture.
Yeah.
And so we had a worship service to begin with. We sang songs and praise to the Lord, and the anarchists were up there mockingly dancing and mockingly doing other things. And so what was wonderful, I thought, at one point the Christian men lined the outline of the stage, and so therefore there was a barrier between the anarchists and the families.
So the families and the kids couldn't see what they were doing.
Exactly. And so the anarchists, because they weren't getting attention anymore, nobody could see them, they were furious at that. And I have one video clip, and we should upload this to KGov because
Jason,
it's so dramatic.
Jason, if you will give us that video, we will put it on KGov.com in the gallery. It is unbelievable.
So there's one young man, Isaac Yoder, who's wearing a ShadowGov.com t-shirt, by the way.
Right.
He's standing there on the ledge, and this little anarchist girl
maybe
comes up
18,
to him.
20 years old.
Yeah. And she's just screaming in his ear.
She's screaming her head off. She looks like a maniac whose head is ready to explode.
And then her, you know, veins are popping out of her neck, and she's not getting any reaction from Isaac, and so she's becoming more and more agitated the longer she goes, and then she just starts shaking.
You got to tell the audience what she was yelling.
Do I have to?
No, I guess not. I'll tell them. She was yelling, "Hail sodomy!"
Oh, yeah.
Hail sodomy!
Trying to get as
whatever
vulgar,
that means.
Yeah, just trying to be as vulgar and disgusting as possible.
Right.
And so she freaks out for a little bit, and then she kind of loses a little bit of energy. At one point, when we got done with the worship, we had some of our New Orleans Christians come up and give testimonies. Now, the New Orleans church, Brother Bill Shanks, he has a lot of kind of inner city type of people that weren't raised in a Christian church that have led a hard life.
Yeah, tough guys who became Christians.
Yeah, and so there was a couple of girls that came up and talked and shared their testimonies because these anarchists are trying to be as vulgar and as hard and as wicked as they can, and so these people from New Orleans come up and say, well, I was wickeder than you. I used to prostitute myself for drugs, but the Lord delivered me from that, and I no longer do that. That's horrible, and I can have joy in my heart.
Wow.
And these anarchists sat down and listened, which was really amazing because they were trying to be as disruptive as possible.
Right.
So that was about an hour into it. And round about then, the police showed up, and so the anarchists thought, well, we shouldn't do anything more with the police here. So they actually sat down, And instead of listening to the sermon, a few of them sort of did. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, who is a friend of ours Ohio.
Out of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, he delivered the message, and so a few of them listened to that.
In fact, let's say hi to Coach. He tunes in to Bob and Yurt Live on KGov.com. So, Coach, you did a great job in Jackson. Thank you.
Absolutely. And he said that he wanted to get you out to Ohio to talk to his Minutemen because he really enjoyed your talk and about politics and so forth.
Yeah, focus on the strategy.
How to get a Christian influence in politics without compromising.
Yeah, we gave an update of our Focus on the Strategy project there, and that went especially well at one of the evening rallies. And I got to speak during the day at the steps of the Capitol on the issue of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So both of those were very significant for me. Great opportunity. Went well. We even had some good comments from police officers.
Yeah. So Friday night in the park, once the Christians started giving their testimonies, that quieted down the pro-aborts, the anarchists. And throughout the night, because the people in OSA have such a heart for evangelism, that we wouldn't leave the pro-aborts alone. We were constantly witnessing to them, trying to talk through the issues and trying to figure out where these kids are coming from, because there's so much hatred and anger in their actions and in their lives. And so through the sermon, we talked to them kind of off to the side. And then after the sermon, we had a taco salad meal prepared there in the park. So we shared taco salad with them, gave them bottled water. And then after that, we had watermelon, ice-cold watermelon. So they partook in that.
And OSA knows how to do watermelon. They put it in big coolers with ice water, and the watermelon is so beautifully chilled, cold. And then you share that with these radical lesbian anarchists.
Yeah, not even a pro bar could turn that down.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So for probably 2 hours, we had evangelists who know what they're doing, who evangelize every day of their lives, talking to these kids. Now, I don't know of any that turned their life over to the Lord that night, but certainly wonderful seeds were planted. And yeah, it was just amazing to see that at the end of the week, they still had all that hatred built up. But by the end of the night, they had broken down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I saw a few hugs being exchanged at the end of the night, mm-hmm, which is saying a lot, because these kids pride themselves in smelling. They don't take showers for months at a time because they want to be as vulgar and disgusting and repulsive as they possibly can. So, right, of course, the women had armpit hair and all this, you know.
Well, they were sort of, I think they were braiding it and hanging
from
it.
It was vulgar.
So that was
the beginning of the week and the end of the week. But we forgot one of the most dramatic parts, and that was Sunday.
Sunday at the Unitarian Universalist Reversalist Church.
Well, can we call it a church? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the anarchists were the ushers at the church. They were the parking lot attendants.
Which is funny. So the anarchists, they're in town because of Operation Save America. So they go to this church because they know OSA Christians are going to go.
Exactly.
And so they become the ushers.
Yeah, so we wanted to go in and not be disruptive because we knew that you'd get arrested for that. But we wanted to listen to what they had to say because certainly abortion was going to be the topic of discussion that morning.
Yeah, and Stephen Sutherland was in the service, another young guy from Denver Bible Church, and he gave a report that it was the most boring experience of his life, bar none.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect?
The female pastor talking about she went her search for the goddess through Irish poetry.
Oh,
he said it was just horrendous.
Well, for some reason, Christians were trying to get in there. So
yeah.
There was a car that was pulling into the lot, and they were met right at the edge of the lot by anarchists with like a PVC pipe, kind of a gate. That's how they had it set up. And so as this car was pulling into the parking lot, for some reason, this gentleman had a Jesus is the Standard t-shirt, which is the official t-shirt of Operation Save America.
Right.
And it's very easy. It's very eye-catching, very easy to see.
So he was driving. It actually was his fiancée's car. She's a young gal. And he was driving the car.
Yeah. And so they were just getting into the parking lot. The anarchist noticed the t-shirt, and they yelled, "That's one of them!"
Right.
So the anarchists surrounded the car.
Now, even them are allowed to attend a church.
Exactly.
And churches are open to the public by law. If they're 501c3 churches, you can't keep out people because they're against abortion.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they're the ones that have this value of tolerance, and we tolerate everybody and everything except for Christians. So
right.
you would think that even though they notice them, okay, keep an eye on those Christians over there, those radicals, but let them in because, and if pro-abort showed up to our church, we wouldn't bar them because they need the gospel more than anybody.
We'd invite them in. We'd invite them up on the stage and say, come on, let's talk.
Invite them on the stage. I don't know about that.
I would. I mean, what a great opportunity to have a debate.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, the last pro-abort we had in our church, Denver Bible Church, he was a volunteer for Planned Parenthood. You remember Dr. So-and-so?
I do remember him, yeah.
And where did we have him?
We had him on stage debating you at the Sunday night Bible study.
Yeah, what a great time we had, too.
Yeah, and he didn't stand a chance. But because we are more tolerant and than the people who say they're tolerant, and we want to get those ideas out, we want to be able to defend our beliefs, and their beliefs are indefensible. So instead of debating the person that just pulled into the parking lot, they surrounded the car. A few of them jumped up on the hood.
On the car.
On the hood, started hitting the windows, trying to drag him out.
With a police car right across the street, observing all this.
Yeah, well, the police were very hostile to us, and we'll get to more stories about that, but a few of them jumped up on the hood, were jumping up and down on the hood.
These are the anarchists.
The anarchists started smashing the windshield, and the windshield did break.
With the PVC pipe whacking the car.
Yeah.
Dented the car, broke the windshield.
And so Leslie Hanks ran across the street.
Leslie is the vice president of Colorado Right to Life.
She ran across the street, told the police, and said, can't you do anything about that? And the police looked over there. And they said, well, that's on private property, and no one has filed a complaint.
Now that's just a lie, of course. And even though it's a church property, the car is private property, too. You're not allowed to destroy people's cars, and the police are not supposed to stand by and enjoy it. If you're in your house and you're mad at somebody and you throw your cell phone against the wall, the police will come and arrest you.
Absolutely.
Your own house with your own cell phone.
Yeah.
Here is a horde of anarchists. The guy in the car is scared to death, and they're smashing his car, and the Jackson policeman says he's just observing and there are no complaints.
It's amazing. And also, that Sunday night, we were having a worship service at a local church there, and we had a few of our tires slashed. And the police didn't seem all that interested in taking reports on that either.
No.
So there was vandalism at the beginning of the week, and the police didn't do anything about it. Although, I don't know why the pro-aborts didn't continue that process throughout the week, because the police didn't seem to care at all.
Now, there was many photographs taken of the anarchist on the car and smashing the car.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And the Clarion Ledger, the main newspaper in Jackson, Mississippi, reported that the pro-lifers were trying to run down the pro-aborts.
Yeah.
Which is so bizarre.
Well, and
you can see they're piled over on the car, smashing it.
Yeah, how easy is it to drive over someone? It's extremely easy. You just press the gas pedal.
Yeah, and so why wouldn't the police wouldn't do anything if somebody's trying to run down by pedestrians?
Yeah.
That's just a joke.
And if the car was trying to run them over, wouldn't the anarchist try to get away from the car instead of running to the car?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's so absurd on so many different levels.
The last time a car tried to run me over, I did not jump on the hood and start whacking it with a PVC pipe.
Yeah, exactly. But the police didn't do anything about that either. It seems systematic.
Yeah.
But as long as we're talking about the police, let's talk about the police and actual protesting.
Mm.
Well, when we protest here in Denver and around the country, we don't get permits to do...
To protest.
Around
the world, when we protest around the world. In Auckland, New Zealand, you go on a street corner, you hold up a sign.
Exactly.
It's called free speech. It's a fundamental human right.
But the police didn't see it that way.
No.
And so at the beginning of the week, when we were holding up any sign, no matter how big or how small, they said you have to have a permit for that. Now, we did go ahead and get a permit because we knew we were going to have a lot of people at the abortion clinic. There were a few sites where we did get permits because we were going to have to block sidewalks and so forth. And at that point, that's understandable. It becomes a traffic problem and you want police there and so forth. So that's understandable to get permits there. But we were not allowed to hold any sign across the street.
So pro-lifers walk across the street with the pro-life sign, and the cops come, confiscate the signs, and those signs are expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're what, $80 up to $200?
Exactly, yeah, depending on the sign.
And how many signs did the Jackson police confiscate?
From our count, about 50 signs.
50 signs, which is costing thousands of dollars. And this is your fundamental free speech right to be on a street corner and hold a sign.
Yeah, and so we asked the police officers, well, first of all, we asked them their name, because all the police officers that we dealt with took off their name tags, their little badges that they had with their names, you know, Sergeant so-and-so, whatever.
Which is inappropriate, but they did that systematically.
Yeah, that's illegal. That's just absurd that a police officer who's sworn to protect and serve the public would remove their name tag so that you can't identify them so that they can do illegal actions. And they also remove their rank insignia, so you couldn't even identify them as a sergeant.
You didn't know who's in charge, who's the sergeant, right.
Exactly. So they try to make it as hard as possible to identify them, and of course they wouldn't tell us their names at all, and they really didn't even identify themselves as police officers, which is really dramatic, but they would cite people, and a lot of times the Jackson City Police, they're having an inmate problem. Their jails are just overwhelmed. So they didn't want to arrest a lot of people, but they gave us a ticket, which is like an arrest, and you have to go to court over that, and they confiscated the signs and handed out a ticket. Now, they did arrest a few people, and Cal Zastro from Michigan and Ken Scott, of course, from here in Denver, were a couple of them that were arrested and taken to jail and had their signs confiscated, and just for simply standing on public property holding a sign. And repeatedly we asked them, saying, what law are we violating? And they said, well, there's this sign law that says you can't hold any sign for anything. I mean, you can't say car wash one block over. You can't hold up a sign that says lemonade stand.
That's a joke. And it's partly because you're in backwater USA. Yeah. If you're in a major city, they know that people have the right to free speech in a major city. But we're in this, you know, backward Banana Republic state of Mississippi.
And you would think with the history of the civil rights movement being in the South, they would be more lenient when it comes to exercising your First Amendment rights. I really thought we were not going to have a problem because this is Christian Deep South Mississippi.
Yeah, but that last abortion clinic in Jackson, in the whole state of Mississippi, they abort black children far out of proportion to their population.
Yeah.
And so whatever, you know, black kids being decimated by the local abortion clinic, hey, some people like that.
Yeah, and the last abortion clinic will not give up without a fight. We were not going to roll in there and in 1 week solve a problem that's been going on for 3 decades now.
Right.
So, but we, of course, had to do what we can. And I know about midweek, I don't know how many babies were saved for the entire week, but I remember hearing about midweek that 3 babies were saved.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were all over the news, and in USA Today, I think a couple of days, and certainly the local media, so forth. So even if we didn't, those are the saves that we know about. There might have been a girl who was planning on having an abortion the following week that saw all of this drama and decided to change her mind. Of course, we don't know what the final results were, but we did have a few salvations. One gentleman who worked at the hotel, all of us Christians were in the same hotel, and everybody was witnessing to, if you don't recognize the person, you witness to them. That was pretty much the rule.
Right.
So we had one of the employees at the hotel that was saved.
Yeah, it's just so exciting.
We had our morning prayer and morning devotional outside with the PA system. Well, we had the PA system set up in the Arby's parking lot next door to the hotel, and then we had the speakers pointing it back at the hotel parking lot. And there was a lady that was taking the garbage out every morning, and she heard us when she was doing her job, and she gave her life to the Lord that week. So that's
Amen.
Very, very cool.
And Jason, we only have another minute, but let me let people know that Norma McCorvey was there. Now, she's Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. And she was used by the pro-aborts, although she didn't believe in God, basically, and she was a willing participant promoting abortion. And so her case went to the Supreme Court, Jane Roe, but Flip Benham and others with Operation Rescue kept witnessing to her because she was at the abortion clinic. They were on the streets, you know, where the Lord spent his ministry, on the streets.
Yeah.
And she finally repented. And she asked God to forgive her, and she became a staunch opponent of abortion. And so she was there on the steps of the Capitol at the rally, and she actually burned a copy of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision, where thousands of babies are murdered every day in her name, in Jane Roe's name.
It's such a testimony to the power of the blood of Christ that she has so much guilt on her because of what she started, and yet God's blood can wash away that sin.
Wash away that sin. And then here are the most radical pro-lifers in the country loving and fellowshipping with Norma McCorvey.
Absolutely.
And what was pretty neat is Flip Benham asked me to, well, for one, go meet with two of the main pro-life leaders in the state of Mississippi. We had a private two-hour meeting. We presented our Focus on the Strategy to them, and they left with copies of the DVD, Focus on the Strategy, and we're following up with them this week. But then I got to present an update at the evening rally, and here's how our national Christian leaders have adopted moral relativism and humanism, and they're approving of judges who rule to keep legal even partial birth abortion. And we're showing how that's happening among our Christian leaders who've been confused about the basics of right and wrong. And as everybody was leaving, we sold a ton of those DVDs, Jason.
Yeah, well over 100.
Yeah, 120-some. We just ran out. And Norma McCorvey's leaving, and normally a speaker at an event doesn't buy materials from other speakers. She stopped at our Bob and Yurt Live table and purchased the DVD of Focus on the Strategy.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the interesting things is you described your update as sobering. So you wouldn't think that would really excite the people in the audience.
Yeah.
But at the end of your sobering update, you got a standing ovation because the crowd knew what you were doing was the right thing, that you were standing on principle, and that we so desperately need to convince our Christian leadership that they need to take a principal stand as well.
Jason, people came up to me from all over the country, and one of the things I heard from a few people was they said that I mentioned names, leaders of national Christian ministries, and they said, you know what? Thank you for mentioning the names, because we cringed when we heard them, because these are people that we love and admire. But we have to know when we Christians are compromising on right and wrong. We have to pray for them, and we have to find a way to encourage them to stop this legal positivist attitude that if Judge Samuel Alito rules to keep legal partial birth abortion, you have Focus on the Family saying that is a good ruling because he's following the process. And that is so devastating because that's a ruling to murder the innocent in the most egregious way. And Christian leaders of all people need to be the ones to say that is a wicked ruling. That is a bad ruling. You never justify a governing official who rules to murder the innocent.
And what benefit is it to brush that under the rug and to forget about it? That doesn't help anyone. When you have the true feelings and the true rulings of that person exposed, you should look at that and examine that and say, what does that tell us about this man?
Yeah, and what does it tell us about the Christian leadership in America, where 30 years ago they were against situational ethics and moral relativism and this humanist idea of legal positivism where the law has no debt to truth or justice, it's only to itself and to the process.
Well, when I see the leadership in a lot of the Christian ministries, I get rather down. But when I look at OSA and the zeal that all of these activists have and for evangelism, for doing pro-life work, I'm so thrilled. And every year I come back on a high from OSA because I'm so thrilled meeting all these friends and brothers and sisters in Christ once again.
And all these multi-million dollar ministries, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars when you add them up, and they've spent 30-some years fighting Roe v. Wade, but I don't think it's a coincidence that it was Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, that saved Roe v. Wade, Jane Roe.
Absolutely.
That's not a coincidence, because you often meet people in the streets. And when you compromise on do not murder, then you have lost the moral authority. And I also think in large part you lose God's blessing.
Well, we met this good Christian there in Jackson who was from a Baptist church there in Jackson who said, "We're doing this the wrong way." And he followed us around. He wasted all of his energy following us around, trying to convince national activist leaders not to be activists anymore, not to go out on the street. He was passing out a pamphlet and trying to convince us that going to the abortion clinic was hurting our message.
The funny thing is he was doing what he was telling us not to do, going out on the street and confronting people and leafleting and trying to get people to change their mind. That's so typical of people who oppose activist Christians.
Exactly.
They say don't judge and they're judging you.
Because to get his message out, he had to become an activist.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we do. To get our message out, to save little babies' lives, we have to become activists. We can't sit in a pew and become a pew potato, because that's not going to help anybody.
No, but that's what the prophets did in the Bible. That's what the apostles did. That's what Jesus did. They went on the streets. They went to where the people were congregating, and they didn't think it was beneath them to speak out on a street corner. Today, if a Christian speaks out on a street corner, other Christians look down their nose and are very condemning and judging and say, "Oh, well, that's terrible. I wouldn't do that." But those people bring others to the Lord, whereas many of those who condemn the street preacher have never brought anyone to the Lord.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about having this gentleman out is the same wonderful reason that we are glad that the Pro Awards were out, because he got to listen to our messages night after night. He would follow us to and fro at the park when we had our service there Friday night. When we were out on the streets, we had PA systems, and we were delivering messages there. Mm-hmm. And he got to see the heart of OSA. He got to see our motivations and why we're out there. And by the end of the week, I don't understand how he could still be out there. He was, but he was a little softer in his message. And he got to see, you know, when we were talking to the parole boards, he wouldn't talk to a parole board. He saw us talking to the parole boards, and he saw me. I was walking around with my video camera and videotaping this and that. He actually got in my way a few times and said that's inappropriate to videotape them. But he was walking around with a still camera taking pictures of everybody, including me and everyone else.
Yeah, it's like a self-righteous standard he's invented.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
he thought himself more pious and more righteous.
Jason, the last thing I remember, Gary, a lab technician with some pharmaceutical company from New York City, and he comes to the OSA events. He was in Denver last year, and he saw my Focus on the Strategy presentation, and he was not very receptive. And then he saw the update this year, and he came up to me, and he said, "Bob, I have to tell you, everything you said is true."
Yeah, and I heard that conversation, and he said, "I couldn't say this last year, but I can say it this year." He agreed with what you had said.
And what he meant was that last year he was so committed to political compromise that he couldn't see the basic truth that you never violate do not murder. He couldn't see that. But after a year of this working on his heart, he saw it.
Yeah, and that's so great, because we have to convince the Christians, the Christian activists, those who truly are pro-life and put their actions where their thoughts are. We have to convince those people that we need to stand on principle. And
Amen.
It's those people that can really influence the culture. You've done sermons where you mention moral anchors and people that will stand firm wherever they're at and hold no matter what the world is saying.
Right.
And that holds their church. And then that church holds their community, and that community
will
slowly but surely affect the entire world.
Yeah,
and so if we lose those moral anchors, if Gary or other Christians decide, well, we need to be politically savvy, we need to be politically smart, and we need to compromise, then that moral anchor slips a little bit.
Yeah.
And then their church slips, and then their community slips. And so if we can hold those moral anchors in place, and we can convince those hardcore Christians that we need to stand on principle, that saves the world. So,
wow.
Bob, thanks for saving the world.
Hey, Jason, thank you so much for joining me, Jason.
All right.
God bless
you.
I appreciate that. That was a fun sermon from some months ago, Are You a Moral Anchor? And if you never heard that, if you order anything from Bob and Yurt Live over the next week, then just request, and we'll send it as a gift, a CD with the Are You a Moral Anchor sermon on it. I think you'll just love that. And then the Focus on the Strategy DVD, if you haven't watched it, I think you owe it to yourself. Everything we offer here at Bob and Yurt Live has a money-back guarantee, but you will love the Focus on the Strategy DVD, and then you'll want to share it with your friends. So please, you can order it online at kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-836-9278. We'll be back right after this.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'll go to the phones in 1 minute. Tomorrow we'll talk about the fighting in Israel and Lebanon and Gaza. And while many are calling for a diplomatic solution, there is no diplomatic solution. What Lebanon needs, same thing that the Germans need it in World War II and the Japanese need it. They needed a spanking, a serious spanking. And when you don't give someone who needs a spanking a good spanking, you make them worse. And so Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. It's it is not a national government. It's a party. It's an organization, and it's conducting foreign policy and killing people, and that's what terrorism is. And Lebanon has allowed a terrorist organization to take increasing control of its country. And so Lebanon needs to be spanked. They need to be punished. So do the Palestinians for having Hamas lead them. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And the French are complaining that more Lebanese are being killed than Israelis. And I know when the French go to war, they make sure that they take more casualties than their enemies. I know that. Because that happens throughout history. I mean, the French go to war. They must shoot themselves first in every battle because the French always take more casualties. Maybe that's what they think you're supposed to do. But when you go to war, you're supposed to kill more of the other guy than they kill of you if you are on the innocent side of the war. And Hezbollah attacked Israel. crossed their border and murdered Israeli soldiers and kidnapped two, and they've been shelling Israel. And so Israel needs to go all out and punish Lebanon for allowing a terrorist organization to operate openly in their borders. All right? And also, tomorrow we'll talk about Saturn's rings. It turns out they're 4 billion years of missing dust from Saturn's rings. They're 99% pure, like ivory soap. The atheists, once again, are wrong by 99%. Let's go to the phones in Canada. Cool. Ontario, Canada. Richard, welcome to Bubba Neart Live.
First-time caller, but a long-time listener.
All right. Welcome to the program.
I was sitting in front of the television on a Sunday night watching network television in Canada, which
yeah.
I think we could both agree is pretty risky behavior in itself.
Yeah, right. We don't watch primetime TV in our household. We pretty much don't watch network TV except for news and sports.
And I think what I'm about to say will probably harden your viewpoint on that.
All right.
While watching primetime television, I saw a commercial for a website that I'm not sure if you want to give the address of because it's pretty vulgar and disgusting.
All right. Well, let's not give the address, but give us the gist of the commercial.
Well, the website is in response to the increase of AIDS and HIV in gay men in Ontario.
In Ontario. Just like in America, the Centers for Disease Control, we call them the CDC, they have reported that AIDS and HIV infection rates have been increasing in San Francisco even in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I was watching this commercial, and I was thinking, well, if AIDS and HIV are not homosexual diseases, then why am I watching this commercial? Why is it even on the air?
Right.
And if homosexuality is such a risky behavior that likely leads to death and certainly misery, why not discourage the behavior and encourage homosexuals to finally repent and come to the Lord?
Good point, Richard. In America, there's a jihad against all kinds of things, like, say, against smoking, which we want to discourage young people from smoking, but at the same time, the same liberals encourage the kids into promiscuity, abortion, which is a major risk factor for breast cancer later, homosexual behavior, which is utterly devastating, all kinds of behaviors that lead to low self-esteem, depression, and even increased risk for suicide.
And I would agree with you, and I was reading through this website, and it reminded me about your episode about Kaiser Permanenteism.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
Well, it just reminded me of that episode, and I was reading some of it, and it so closely paralleled that episode. On the website, they were saying, get in touch with what you value, what you need, and what you desire in another guy and in a relationship. Without this awareness, you may well make choices that don't satisfy what's really important to you. That's your life, and follow your bliss. It doesn't say, come to the Lord and finally get better or resolve. Anyways, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, of course. And we got to realize, Richard, that these are people who hate God. People who promote homosexuality, for the most part, are people who hate God. And if we try to understand their behavior in a rational sense, it's difficult. But when you realize that they hate God and they know that God's word, the Bible, condemns homosexuality. So if they can teach respect for homosexuality, then they undermine the Bible. And where God calls homosexuality an abomination, it's a filthy perversion. It is disgusting. It's gross.
It is gross.
It's gross. I realized, you know what, Richard, I realized some time ago, in fact, I came out of the closet at our church, and I told everybody that I was homophobic. And what I realized was that I was born this way, Because if I see two men at a restaurant, I've just eaten my lunch, and they're starting to gaze at each other, and maybe they're going to, like, kiss or something, I'm going to lose my lunch. I'm going to throw up. And it's natural. No one had to teach me this. This God gave us a gag reflex to protect us. So
I needed a full bottle of Pepto-Bismol after just looking at the site for 3 minutes.
Just the website. So if you look at some like putrid, rotting carcass in the gutter, and if somebody says, "Oh, why don't you eat that?" then just the thought of it makes you gag. And God gave us this gag reflex to protect us from filthy, dangerous things that could destroy us. So pretty much around the world, people, unless they're conditioned to accept perversion, people see two guys about to be intimate, and they gag. They gag. It's gross. So I realized I came out of the closet. I am homophobic. I'm proud of it. I was born that way. And once I told my family and friends, they all accepted me. And they accept me being homophobic. And I can now be who I am.
I was almost thinking of ordering that pamphlet pack.
Yeah.
Where on the front of it says something about coming out of the closet.
Yeah.
And on the next page, it talks about being homophobic.
Right, exactly. It's our article pack. I don't know whether we have 7 or 8 pamphlets in there on all different topics, like judging and overpopulation and miracles and healing. And a couple of them are on homosexuality, whether homosexuals should adopt children. And another titled Coming Out of the Closet by Bob Enyart. And on the cover, it says, "I finally admit it. I came out of the closet that I am homo." And then there's a hyphen on the front of the pamphlet. You have to open it up. It says homo. You open it up, phobic. And I am.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God made me this way. And liberals are supposed to believe in diversity and tolerance, so I don't know why they don't tolerate people who are homophobic. But actual diversity is a man and a woman. Now, that's diverse. You want to talk about diverse? Viva la difference. God made us diverse, male and female. Now, if you put a guy with a guy, you can't get less diverse than a guy with a guy. That's the same. That's what we use the prefix homo for. Homo means the same. And so diversity is a man with a woman. And the same is a man with a man. And that's gross.
Well, just to show you how tolerant the liberals are in Canada, in Ontario we have the Liberal Party, and we used to have the Federal Liberal Party. Even discouraging homophobia on the airwaves in Canada is considered a hate crime.
Wait. You mean encouraging homophobia?
Not encouraging homophobia, but just warning people about the dangers and the risk of homosexual behavior.
Oh,
is a hate crime.
Discouraging homosexuality is a hate crime in Canada?
You can't do that on the air. A few months ago, EWTN, which is a Catholic channel,
right,
wanted to air a program called Life on the Rock in Canada, and they had to change over to a Best of Life on the Rock episode because the episode was about homosexuality.
And
they were
Canada,
afraid about being charged with a hate crime in Canada.
Right. Canada is gradually removing free speech from people regarding just teaching what the Bible says. It's a hate crime to read verses right out of the Bible on radio or TV in Canada. And since we're on radio right now, Richard, maybe in some perverse Canadian judge's eyes, you might be committing a crime right now.
Well, at least it doesn't air in Canada, so I can't be charged in Canada.
Well, you would hope so, but, you know, you can't trust the judge to think straight.
Oh, come on. If Michael Moore can basically come to Canada and discourage people from voting conservative, then I'm sure I can get away with what I'm currently doing.
In America. Well, we still have some freedom here in America. Actually, we have quite a lot. And thankfully, we're able to warn people that homosexuality will destroy you. And in fact, it destroys people by the millions. And it's a devastating death. It's a tortured, horrific death that has destroyed people by the millions. And there's in America, AIDS is a homosexual disease. In America.
Well, I think they came out of the closet with this commercial and it meant that it was a homosexual disease in Canada.
Yeah.
But it was a homosexual disease.
Well, you didn't describe the commercial.
Well, basically, and I almost needed Pepto-Bismol to watch this commercial.
Yeah.
It had about eight guys on the television screen basically hugging and cuddling each other.
Oh, gross. Too much information. I shouldn't have asked.
And then at the bottom, it gave the link to their website, which I'm not going to give the website address for because
no.
I don't want to increase their web visits.
Yeah, right. Now, there were 20 years in America where the CDC and the media in our schools lied to millions of young people and said that AIDS was not a homosexual disease. And then AIDS proceeded to decimate the homosexual community, and it never broke through to the heterosexual community to decimate the heterosexual community. It was a fringe disease for heterosexuals, but it decimated square on the homosexual community, and that's why homosexual cities like San Francisco were so affected. So, and what's the purpose of them denying that? It'd be like lying to people and saying lung cancer is not a smoker's disease. The only reason you would do that is if you hated people and you wanted to promote smoking. So if you hated people and wanted to promote smoking, you would say lung cancer is not related to smoking. And if you hated people and wanted to promote homosexuality, you would say AIDS is not related to homosexuality. And in fact, that's the truth. When you hate God, typically you also hate human beings. You know, they love whales and they love trees and they love bugs. And they love dirt. They worship dirt. They worship the earth.
And eagle eggs.
So, but they hate people made in God's image. And so they're willing to let hundreds of thousands of people risk behavior that is very dangerous and often leads to AIDS. And they deny even that there's a link. There is AIDS as a homosexual disease, and then there's secondhand AIDS, where a boyfriend who is a homo picks up a woman and has sex with her and gives her HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they call that? They call that heterosexual AIDS. And that's a homo who got AIDS because he's a homo, and then he gave secondhand AIDS to someone else, or when he donates blood. And hemophiliacs are still to this day in America being devastated by HIV infections because of homosexuals donating blood. To this day, it's still an epidemic in America. And we've been warning about that on the radio for 15 years. Richard, we're out of time.
It was a pleasure being on the air with you.
Thank you so much for calling. First time caller, thrilled to talk to you. Our website is KGov, KGOV.com. Please check it out, or you can call us if you want to look at our catalog, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 and kgov.com.